So our gospel reading for today began with these words. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. That's the NRSV translation. Another translation says they were keeping a close eye on him. We're going to think about those words today in this message. They were keeping a close eye on him, or watching him closely. We know all about the Pharisees. Luke later describes them in chapter 20. He says this: "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets." He was hard on the Pharisees. They were always jockeying for position. They loved their power. And Jesus is warning here against pushing oneself forward in the sight of God. In Jesus' day, and certainly in our day too, it's too easy for the well-off and those who are comfortable to think they're superior in God's sight and somehow have maybe a favored status over the poor or the less fortunate. And so the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely, but with evil intent. We know the outcome of that watching. They ultimately found what they were looking for and had Jesus arrested, tried, and executed. Amazingly, these same Pharisees and teachers, not all of them, but many of them, took their eyes off of Jesus after he was killed and turned them onto the followers of Jesus, who amazingly kept doing what Jesus was doing. But they had to try to prevent this from growing, this movement that Jesus had started. And this is significant because other movements began at this time. But when the leader died, so did the movement. And that wasn't happening this time. There's something different going on here. And so they were trying to stop the movement. They were watching Jesus' followers closely. And we know one of them in particular by the name of Paul. Saul as well. He was militant. Acts 8:1 said Paul was a witness and approved of the stoning of Stephen. And in Paul's own words, spoken by Luke or written down by Luke for us in his second volume, Acts 22, Paul states, "I persecuted this way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison, as the high priest and whole council of elders can testify about me. From them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I went there in order to bind those who were there and to bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment." It's really interesting for us to think about watching Jesus closely. To think about these Pharisees and then Paul in particular, who we are singling out today, and how he watched Jesus' followers closely, tried to squelch the movement, tried to stop it from continuing. But it's fascinating to watch Paul and to consider Paul and to think about how Jesus turned the tables, really. And here's what I mean. The Pharisees were watching with evil intent Jesus, including Paul, who was watching Jesus' followers and this movement continue with evil intent. And then think about what happens in that familiar story on the road to Damascus. Paul is forced to look at Jesus closely, to the point of blindness. But Jesus turns the tables then, and he gives Paul the eyes to see. He gives Paul the ability to see Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came and fulfilled all of the prophecies and all of the things that Paul knew so well, being a strict Pharisee and so bright. He gave him the ability to see who he was and is. And so Paul, we know, lived his life watching Jesus closely, pleading with people, telling them about this Jesus. And I find this interesting and fascinating because this is where we can trace our own heritage. Our own ability to see and to watch Jesus closely with our own eyes begins here with Paul. And we'll look at that a little closer here in a second. But we're going to advance in the story. We're going to get towards the later part of the book of Acts. And Paul got himself into trouble in Jerusalem. You know, he was preaching and teaching Jesus, and you know, the Pharisees, the teachers, they didn't want this to happen, and so they stepped in and they were going to kill Paul. But the soldiers there were Roman, and they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen, and they stepped in to save Paul because he was a Roman citizen. And they had him taken to Caesarea. And that's where he would be kept safe. So Paul was taken to Caesarea, which is about 70 miles from Jerusalem. It was the Roman headquarters, really, of Judea. At the time, it was a prominent city. This is where the Roman governors resided. And as I often do, as I was preparing for this message, I just kind of got taken in and maybe got down a little bit of a rabbit trail, just fascinated with Caesarea. Quite a place. But there was a name and a governor who resided there who I bet you know and have heard of, Pontius Pilate. And it's interesting because up until 1961, there was no mention of Pontius Pilate in history, really. And so, you know, religious scholars and those who like to, you know, look at the Bible and say it's just a bunch of fairy tales and so forth and all of that were quieted in 1961 when the Pilate stone was found. Have you heard of that? The Pilate stone from the first century with an inscription on it mentioning Pontius Pilate. This is gold stuff. Just like Paul today, this is rooted in history. We have the eyes to see Jesus and watch him closely. But we're called to boldly share this historical fact, knowing that God will work through that by the power of his Holy Spirit, his word as well. So back on to our story, though. The year is 57. Felix is the governor of the province, residing in Caesarea, and Paul is presented to Felix. And he reads the letter written by the Roman commander, written to Felix, telling all about Paul, and here's what Paul did, and so forth. And Felix promises him a fair trial, and then detains him in Herod's Praetorium, you know, the governor's palace. But he's there for 2 years. For 2 years, Paul shares his faith, his life, his story of Jesus, his encounter with Jesus. Finally, after 2 years, there's a change in leadership when Porcius Festus becomes the new governor. Things are going to change now. And so we're going to pick up the story at the change in leadership in Acts 26, if you'd like to follow along, and we're going to start in verse 12. But Paul is speaking here with King Agrippa, who was king of a ruler of part of the northern province of Palestine, part of that area there he was king. And he had come to visit and welcome the new governor, Festus. And so we pick it up at verse 12, Paul speaking. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Watching Jesus closely takes on a whole new meaning at this point, doesn't it? Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to anoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them," listen to this, hear this, "I'm sending you to them to open their eyes," to open our eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This person, Paul, in the year 57, and then probably 59 at our story today, has an encounter and he talks about it to the people he's with. He talks about that encounter and his call to us, to the Gentiles. This is where our faith can be traced to. Don't let that slip by. This is rooted in history. It's in the Roman records, the historical records, as well as our scripture. We can point to this very time when our eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit. And so we can live like Paul, watching Jesus closely and sharing our testimony with anybody and everybody who will listen. And it makes me think of Hebrews 12 as a way of life, a way to live this race, running the race. You'll be very familiar with these words, but we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, watching him closely, in other words, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's how we do it. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Paul continues then in verse 22, "But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." Listen to the response. At this, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane." Isn't that our fear too? If we're bold like Paul and we share our faith and we share our life of watching Jesus closely, isn't that our greatest fear? "You are out of your mind." So what? It's history. It's the truth. We can't say Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will help us just like he did Paul. Let's not miss this. Who cares if people call us crazy or we're out of our mind? It's true. We are out of our own mind. We are living by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a gift. So in verse 29, Paul replies, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." That's our call. Our call is to live like Paul out in the world, ambassadors of Christ, boldly talking about who we are, our new life in Jesus, our ability to watch Him closely. He will be with us and empower us. That's our challenge and our call every single day. The world calls us to comfort. We're not to live in comfort. We're to be bold, bold witnesses. So we're going to close with these words from Philippians 3. You've heard them many, many times, but think about them in the context of Paul, the prisoner. Paul being called out of his mind, and Paul who ultimately goes to his death, testifying this Jesus. This is how Paul lived. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Watching Jesus closely. That's his goal. He's pressing on and his prize. Let us do the same. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.